It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. Tackling the controversies, engaging the culture, challenging the status quo, and taking your calls. Dr. Brown is the director of Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Call now at 866-34-TRUTH and get into the line of fire.
As you know, if you listen to this program regularly, one of the things that we seek to do here on the Line of Fire is be a voice of moral sanity and spiritual clarity in the midst of a society in chaos and a church in compromise. And that's precisely what we intend to do on the broadcast today. Michael Brown, glad to be with you today. Number to call, 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. You can email me directly at Dr. Brown, that's drbrown, at askdrbrown.org. I got an email from Stu Epperson Jr. on Friday night asking me to turn on the TV and to watch Larry King live. Well, I didn't receive the email till late, and we don't have TV at home these days. But I was able to get online over the weekend and watch much of the show and then read the transcript of the show. And Larry King had on as his guest Jennifer Knapp. Now, I haven't followed contemporary Christian music closely enough to know all the names of major recording artists, but she was a major Christian recording artist. And then big news in recent weeks, she had not been recording for 7 years and kind of out of the spotlight. And there were questions, was she actually lesbian? And now she's come out and said, yes, she's Christian and she's lesbian. So Larry King, of course, always hammers these issues and likes to criticize those who say that you can't be a Christian and lesbian at the same time, or gay and Christian at the same time, and is always hammering, well, it's not a choice people make, and so on, and who are you to condemn? So he had Jennifer Knapp on his show Friday night, and she's been getting mixed responses from Christians. Now, the fact that it's mixed is very disconcerting, but not unexpected in the morally compromised climate of today's church and the morally confused and doctrinally confused climate of much of today's church. Some, of course, have said you're going to have to choose whether you follow Jesus or follow your sexuality. Others have said, hey, it's okay, we love you, and God's all about love, and we'll be at your concert. So here's someone who's going back to recording and back to concerts as a professing Christian who is in a same-sex relationship and has been for 8 years. So no matter how you slice this cake, it means, presumably, that she has been having sex with someone that she's not married to 8 years, put aside the same-sex issue, okay? And she is professing to be a Christian, and because she's a recording artist, therefore a Christian who has influence, especially over young people, you add in the same-sex element, it's all the more perverted and abominable, and all the more does she need God's mercy to help her to repent and get right with God. So Larry King has her on and then brings on a pastor who had met her years back, found out about the same-sex issues, but never made an issue about it publicly, just prayed for her. When she went public, he felt he needed to make a public statement to her and to the church about her situation, which I think is perfectly right and merited now that she's gone public. And she's been interviewed in Christianity Today, the flagship evangelical publication for decades. Sure, it's right for him to make that statement. So Pastor Bob Botsford, who I don't know personally, from a major church in San Diego, was on. And then Ted Haggard. So I'm going to play you some clips, and I want to get your take on this. 866-34-TRUTH. I've got a lot to say about this, a lot of issues that I want to talk through with you. But first, let's go to Larry King talking to Jennifer Knapp about her sexuality. And what you will hear is a young woman who is confused and who needs prayer and who under no circumstances should be professing Jesus right now while living in an open same-sex relationship. But take a listen.
We've looked at a few Christian websites. My crack staff has. Here's some comments people have said. Jennifer must choose between her sexual orientation and her Christianity. She cannot have both. Jennifer does not yet have the spiritual strength to deny her sexual orientation. To say this is okay, this is who I am, is not acceptable in God's sight. These people are, of course, speaking for the Lord.
I have heard this before.
And you react how?
Well, that's those are several different hot button topics that are issues within dealing with homosexuality and Christian and people of faith. It's amazing to me that it's literally stunning to me that because of in some eye or some way that I might be a failing or disappointment to you as an individual, that at some point that you have any control over my faith or my belief or what inspires me to look toward the heavens and look toward the God. So it's a very challenging situation to sit there and listen to someone make that kind of statement.
All right, so first, does she have no conception that following Jesus has meaning, that following Jesus has consequences, that following Jesus has moral requirements? Does she have no conception that we represent him when we are public figures and identify with him, and that the Word of God plainly says, on the one hand, the Lord knows those who are his, that's his responsibility. On the flip side, let all those who call on the name of Jesus depart from iniquity, and that we're repeatedly told in the New Testament to judge a tree by its fruit. Why is this so stunning for her? To people trying to control. No, they're saying you have gone public with something and you are now misrepresenting Jesus to the world and bringing confusion on many and hurting others. And other people, especially young people struggling with same-sex attraction, are going to think, well, it's okay for her. She's a Christian too. I mean, this is mind-boggling that someone doesn't have that sense. Now, let me say this. Just because someone is a contemporary Christian artist doesn't mean to me that I think that they're a leader or qualified to be a leader or qualified to be a spokesperson. That's one of the big failings of the contemporary Christian music scene, that you have people who are talented and gifted but not necessarily godly or not necessarily mature, and yet they now stand before people as examples of some kind. And once you are going to stand before people, you have to then be an example. If you are a professing Christian and you are an athlete, now you may not be getting the same message out as an athlete that a recording artist would, but if you're an athlete and you're a professing Christian, then you're going to have to walk the walk, and if you fail, you're going to have to publicly confess and fix things so that your testimony can glorify God. All right, now that gets more interesting. Listen to this interaction between Larry King and Jennifer Knapp.
The implication is that you chose this, that you had a choice and said, well, I'm a gay, straight, I'll choose gay.
There are many implications in it, and that
you don't think that, do you? You don't think, did you think you chose this?
I don't know why I am. I'm very comfortable with it. I recognize that love is a choice, very much. My sexuality, on the other hand, I'm not so certain about it.
So here, amazingly, she can't, you know, Larry King is just trying to say, hey, you didn't, you weren't born this way, you didn't choose that. He's going to go over and over that point on the show. But amazingly, she's not even clear about her own sexuality. She says, you know, she really didn't struggle with sexual desires for, you know, for years towards the same sex and fell in love with it. Love is a choice. Well, how about the married man? Does he choose not to fall in love with a woman he's not married to if love is a choice? How about the single person that is attracted to someone that's married and they have to make a choice? Okay, I'm not going to fall in love with this person, or if love is in fact a choice. So isn't it a choice that you are not going to fall in love with someone that is forbidden to you by God, the God who made us and the God who knows what is best? But again, I don't know anything about Jennifer Knapp in the past or her music. She may have been a blessing to folks in the past. Again, I haven't followed contemporary Christian music closely enough. So there's some folks I know, I'm more kind of in the contemporary worship artist and that kind of thing. But the bottom line is, this type of ambiguity is so common in so much of the pop Christianity today. This type of anything goes, and ultimately it's all about me. Hey, come on. I'm happy now. And if I'm happy, it must be right. It's the all about me gospel. It's the narcissistic, me-centered gospel that has been so prevalent in America for years now and is now bringing forth all kinds of rotten and destructive and harmful fruit. It's no surprise. It's still painful to see. It's still disconcerting to see. And when we come back, we'll bring on Pastor Bob Botsford's comments. And then We're going to go on and hear what Pastor Ted Haggard had to say later on. This thing becomes increasingly convoluted, although there's one voice speaking consistently for truth throughout the broadcast, the pastor from San Diego. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. How should we respond? Is our bigger concern to respond with love and gentleness and say, hey, we love you and accept you as you are, and then through that, help bring her to repentance? Or is that compromise from the start? Do we say your lifestyle choices are wrong, but we love you and care for you and offer you a way back? We'll talk about it. 866-34-TRUTH. Don't go anywhere. Welcome back, friends, to the Line of Fire broadcast. Michael Brown, delighted to be with you as we sort through some of the extraordinary confusion put forth by Larry King and Jennifer Knapp on Larry King Live last Friday night, about being a lesbian Christian recording artist. 866-34-TRUTH. Before we go to the phones, I want to play one more clip from Larry King Live. They've just had a musical segment with Jennifer Knapp, well-known Christian recording artist, was kind of out of sight for about 7 years while she was in a lesbian relationship. Now has come back happier than ever, she says. God knows the truth of that, but happy or not, it's not the issue. Being right with God is the bigger issue. Holiness is more important than happiness, and ultimately true holiness is the only thing that'll bring true happiness. But Pastor Bob Botsford blogged about Jennifer Knapp's coming out, and he is on Larry King. So I want you to hear some of his comments, and then we'll go to the phones, and I want to play some more clips because the ambiguity, the confusion gets increasingly bizarre. Thankfully not from Pastor Botsford, though.
Jennifer Knapp, of course, remains. We're joined now by Pastor Bob Botsford, Senior Pastor, Horizon Christian Fellowship in San Diego. Thank you for coming, Pastor. You wrote a blog about Jennifer, and I want to read from it, saying, when a well-known spokesperson of the faith stubbornly chooses to remain in their life of sin, my heart breaks for them. Jennifer says she's finally happy. She's in a committed, loving 8-year relationship, and she's making music again. So why does your heart break for her?
Well, Larry, it breaks for anyone who's caught in a sinful situation, and so I just, you know, felt led to speak. We had a chance to meet a number of years ago briefly. I don't expect her to remember that, but and I've prayed for her for 8 years now. And
you feel sorry for her?
I do. My heart breaks for what the Bible tells us about this particular choice and lifestyle. And you know, I care as much, you know, for Katy Perry. I've never met Katy Perry, so I didn't think that, you know, I didn't even think that this would ever come about where I would be here, but I prayed for a lot of years, having been told of Jennifer's same-sex decision and relationship, and so I didn't say a word to anybody, kept it quiet, did not go public with anyone except the Lord in my prayers for Jennifer until it came public last week in the articles that she just mentioned to you that she gave. And then I said, well, hey, this is not right. And
I understand that.
All right, so of course Larry King is going to challenge, is this actually a choice? And are you calling it a choice? And did you choose to be heterosexual? And on and on. And of course, the simple answer is the choice is what we do. The choice is the action. Whether someone has same-sex attractions or single-sex attractions or opposite-sex attractions, whatever, the fact is that is a choice that we make in terms of acting on them, acting on desires, okay? If someone is heterosexual and single and has intense desires to be with someone and they're not married to that person, they have to make a choice not to act on those desires. If they're attracted to someone that's married, they have to make a choice not to act on those desires. Someone with same-sex attraction has to make a choice not to act on those desires and to go to God and ask for help and grace to overcome desires that are contrary to God's will and God's best for their lives. But anyway, I'm glad that the pastor identified it as sin and did speak of a decision that Jennifer Knapp made, because she certainly made a decision, A, to give in to her desires, B, to be with this other woman and obviously have sexual relations with her. and C, to now come out and say, I'm going to continue to be a Christian. Okay. I got more to say, but I want to hear from you. Let's go to Jeff in Salt Lake City. Thanks for calling today.
Hi. Yeah. Oh. I listened to that clip. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir. Can hear you. I can hear you.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, I've heard that clip three times now, and that you've played first. And first of all, she starts to say she's hurt that anyone would try to control her. And I didn't see the whole interview, but I can't imagine anyone trying to control her. Number two, she was going to say that that anybody would judge me in my and then she stopped at, and she was obviously going to say Christianity, but she didn't, and she said a person of faith. Mm-hmm. And that's one of the annoying things that I've been hearing for a long or recently. Is somebody calling themselves a person of faith? Well, what does that mean? Number three, she actually she said gods.
I mean,
heaven, yeah. And you and
that may have just been a slip of tongue. I heard that too. I assume that was a slip of the tongue. I'm with you on all the other points. I heard that. And I listened to it a couple of times. I assume that's a slip of the tongue because she does.
But you
could be onto something.
Well, my point here is that she's not a Christian.
Mm-hmm.
She's not trying to even, or she's trying to walk the line because apparently she's chosen to use Christian music as her way into the limelight. And now that she's decided that she's not doing that well in Christian music, she's come out as a homosexual. So and of course the pop culture will embrace her with mm-hmm. with open arms. And to me this is all about her and her career as a musician, and it has nothing to do with Christianity.
Got it.
Anyway, that's my point.
All right, Jeff, I appreciate the call very much. Thank you, sir. By the way, as that call came in from Salt Lake City, it reminds me to let all of you know, especially all of you listening all over Utah, all of my Mormon listeners, all friends there with Mormon family, every listener with Mormon family, Mormon friends, Mormon coworkers, tune into the show on Wednesday. I'll be doing an interview about Mormonism with Dr. James White. And we'll find out about the gods of Mormonism and the God of Mormonism or who's worshipped or what. And if you're a Mormon, it'll be your opportunity to call in and take issue with what's being said. Now, as far as I understand, with Jennifer Knapp, she was doing fine in Christian music, then stepped out for years and has now come back. What her motives are for coming back, God knows. But without question, she cannot be a Christian and be in an open or secret same-sex relationship, period. The scriptures are abundantly clear on that. Vicki in Winston-Salem, thanks for calling.
Hi. I just wanted to respond in reference to the artist you were speaking about. And, you know, it just goes back to me, the woman at the well in John 4. And the Lord says, if you knew who was asking of you... And I think that's the crux of it. You have to know Jesus Christ.
Yes.
And love Jesus Christ. And the love of Christ that you have for him will constrain you from acting on your impulses and your desires. So first, you have to love him because he loves you. And then that love for him will constrain you. So I would have to ask her, you know, does she really know him?
Yes. Yes, ma'am.
And second of all, do you really love him?
Yeah, Vicki, I think you hit the nail on the head there. I heard nothing in her talk that would indicate that this is someone who knows Jesus and loves Jesus. You're absolutely right. Hey, thanks for the call.
Thank you.
We'll be back. I want you to hear what Ted Haggard has to say on this when we come back. Welcome back, friends, to The Line of Fire. Michael Brown, by God's grace, seeking to be a voice of moral clarity and spiritual sanity or moral sanity and spiritual clarity, or both and, here on the Line of Fire, talking about the Larry King Live show with Jennifer Knapp. Here's, again, an influential Christian recording artist, been out of the scene for a while now, comes back saying, yes, I'm lesbian, I've been in a same-sex relationship. I mean, she doesn't, in some of the interviews, doesn't even say she's a lesbian, just that she fell in love with a woman. And maybe one day she won't feel that way. So what you do, it's what Christians do today. You just act on your feelings. You just do what you want to do. Because, hey, after all, it's all about me, isn't it? Jesus died so I could be happy. Jesus died so I could fulfill my desires. Jesus died so I could be bigger and better. And that's the contemporary perversion of the gospel. The biblical gospel begins with Jesus saying, if you want to come after me, if you want to follow me, if you want to be my disciple, what's first? Deny yourself. Take up your cross and follow me. I had aspirations of being a great rock drummer before I got saved. The band I played with, we had aspirations of being a great rock band. I had aspirations of being a very drug-crazed famous rock drummer. And when I got saved, everything died. The desires died. The it's all about me died. The fleshly ambitions died. And it became a matter of pleasing God. And where I fall short and you fall short, what do? We recognize what's right and we confess our sins to God and we move forward in Jesus' name. And if we do things that bring have consequences with them, then we fix things. We make restitution. If I steal your car and repent of it and come back and ask forgiveness, that means I give your car back. And that means that you have every right to bring me into the police if you choose, and I may have to do jail time or make some kind of restitution to you, but I don't repent and drive off in your car. And if I'm a Christian leader and sin in a public way or in a way that becomes exposed to the public, then there are consequences. That's why we humble ourselves before God. That's why we repent and seek his mercy and seek to please him and live right. That's why we make ourselves accountable to others. So here at Larry King Live Friday night, they bring Ted Haggard on, and to me, I just want to speak honestly. My heart goes out to Ted. I can't imagine the hell that he's been through. I can't imagine the struggles that he's lived through. I'm under satanic attack like other leaders are, but perhaps he was under extreme satanic attack with the leadership responsibilities he was given. Either way, I extend as much mercy as I can to my brother, the same mercy that I want extended to me. And wherever he sinned against the body, of course, I forgave the moment that I heard it. My concern, of course, first, the glory and honor of the name of Jesus. And then secondly, the good of the body and how this affects the lost. And Ted Haggard's good, the good of his family. You only want to see restoration. But what concerns me is when there was sin of this nature over this course of time with this much public leadership at the same time. In other words, he hadn't stepped down. He was involved in public leadership, national ministry, international ministry as a voice, and was sinning in this particular way. Is it wise to now bring him back as a spokesman? Should he be accepting invitations to be a spokesman? Is it right for him to be criticizing, quote, religious people that judge others? That concerns me. It concerns me really for his well-being more than anything. And therefore, I encourage you to be really praying for God's Spirit to work deeply and wonderfully in our brother's life. So it's the end of the Larry King Show. It's the last 7 minutes or so. And they want to get concluding remarks from different ones. So they begin with Pastor Ted Haggard.
The pastor makes is a good one, but it's an incomplete one. All of the New Testament is about a love relationship with God that's appropriated for all of us through the Lord Jesus Christ and the sacrifice on the cross.
Agreed.
As a result of that, there are ethics, there are rules, there are things that happen, but those rules and those ethics are not the core. The core is the relationship. It's like my relationship with my wife. My wife and I love one another, but if we went to a conference that just taught us all the rules of what a good home should look like, that would be a sterile existence. Or if we learn about love and intimacy and growth and process and going through life together, then those ideas can supplement that. That's the way the Bible is. And so that's why the Bible says in Romans 1, when it talks about homosexuality, it follows up with the first verse in Romans 2 saying, hey, be cautious about judging other people about this because you all do the same things. And then he concludes that first paragraph in Romans 2 by saying, hasn't it dawned on you that it's the love and mercy of God that leads to our repentance and our salvation? And so what he highlights there is that the purpose of the Holy Spirit is to create in us a Holy Spirit. We grow. The purpose of the Word of God is to convict us and help us grow, sanctify us. That's all good. But we can't do it to one another like that.
Genevieve.
All right. So I, on the one hand, appreciate that what comes first is loving God with all of our hearts and loving our neighbors ourselves. Jesus said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. The husband who says he loves his wife and commits adultery against her every day is not truly loving her. The husband who says he loves his wife and abandons the household and the kids so he can go out and get drunk is really not loving them. Love is not just some nebulous thing that's just out there and you just, you know, I just feel of love. Well, Jesus said, if you love me, you keep my commandments. There is evidence of new birth. So this idea of doing this to one another as if it's would it have been wrong if people knew that Ted Haggard was committing those sins? Would it have been wrong for people to go to him and say, Ted, you're destroying your life. You're destroying your family. You're degrading the name of Jesus. You need to repent. You need to step down. You need to get counsel, ministry. No, that's what love would do. Open rebuke is better than secret love, the Bible says. I quoted these verses last week talking about Proverbs. And while the kisses of an enemy may be profuse, faithful are the wounds of a friend. As for Romans 1, Paul is laying out first the universal sinfulness of the world, beginning with the Gentile world. And he's talking about how God's wrath is being revealed because of all of the godlessness and wickedness of men. He's not justifying it. He's talking about God's wrath being revealed against it and shows how as people fall into idolatry and worship of self and other things and fleshly desires, God in his judgment gives them over to those things and it gets worse and worse. It gets into homosexuality. It gets into other sinful practices and shameful lusts. Those are the words he puts on it. And then beginning in chapter 2, he's having an argument, in all likelihood, with a Jewish person who's condemning the whole Gentile world. We Jews don't do those terrible things. And look, here's what he just listed. They become filled with every kind of wickedness, evil, greed, and depravity. They're full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, and malice. Is Ted Haggard saying that we shouldn't say murder is wrong? We shouldn't speak out against it? Come on. He's now dealing in Romans 2 with a self-righteous person. He says, well, we never sin. And he said, you're pointing a finger at others and condemning yourself. In other words, the right response is to say, we recognize we've all fallen short. We come to God for mercy. And those that call on the name of Jesus and claim to be following him must live up to his standards. I mean, it's simple. All right, more to come. Stay with us. Once again, the issue of passing judgment. Can we judge one another as Christians? We've had whole shows on that. I'm not going to focus on it now. But as we're talking about Jennifer Knapp, Christian recording artist, or allegedly Christian recording artist, saying she's been in a same-sex relationship for years now and is a Christian, obviously her walk disqualifies her testimony. There is no testimony then. But what about when the Word says don't pass judgment? 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. Look at Romans 2:3. So when you, a mere man, pass judgment on them, meaning the Gentile world in its sin, from murder to idolatry to all kinds of sexual immorality, and yet do the same things, do you think you will escape God's judgment? See, that's the big issue. The big issue is if I am stealing and now condemning someone for stealing, I am a hypocrite and under judgment. If I once stole and publicly confessed and made things right with the place where I stole, and I am not a thief, I can tell others stealing is wrong. And I'm not a hypocrite in saying that. If I have a lustful thought or an envious thought or a greedy thought or whatever, and I either renounced it or if I gave into it and I repented of it, that's not who I am. That's not what I'm walking in. That's totally different from someone that says, this is who I am. This is what I'm walking in, even though the Bible's against it, and I'm a Christian. Now, listen to final comments where Larry King asked Ted Haggard a very direct question.
Ted, are you saying it is a choice or not a choice? The sexuality, do we choose whether we're gay or whether we're hetero? Do we choose that, in your opinion?
I think that's a very, very complex thing that I don't want to get into here. What I do want to say here, though, is that I believe that the Bible is the Word of God and it's inspired and inerrant. And I believe Jesus was very clear, and the scriptures are very clear when they say the command is to love, the command that covers them all, that's predominant, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Love your neighbor as yourself. And so love is the predominant thing. God is love. The scripture says Jesus displays how to do this. And Jesus warns religious leaders strongly that we must not use the scriptures to point our fingers at other people without letting the fingers point at us as well.
All right, so that statement obviously concerns me in terms of speaking out against religious people that point a finger. Just because of the extraordinary mercy that God's had on our brother, he's had it on all of us, but had it on Ted Haggard in a very, very public way. And it would seem to me that after a fall of that magnitude, that one would be even more careful about words that are said. Now, I'm sure he's seeking to be careful. I would say it's careful in the wrong direction, because the pastor is speaking graciously with a heart of love and speaking truth. And if we love God, we will live differently. As I said in the last segment, love is not just some feeling. Love is not just some nebulous emotion. Love speaks of a commitment. Love speaks of a life commitment. Love speaks of a commitment to be obedient, obedient to God and to follow him no matter what. Just get my throat clear here. Sorry. Apologize for that. I'm getting all choked up. No, I'm not. My throat wasn't clear. Okay. And the whole idea, is it a choice? The best answer is there's no scientific evidence that anyone is born that way. But in most cases, the same-sex desires are formed very early in a child's or young person's development. So in their minds, it was not a choice. It's been who they are or who they were. In their mind, who they always were, which is why they think of being born that way. But either way, people are born with all kinds of sinful desires as a fallen, broken human race. And as we grow up and develop, different influences come into our lives. So from our earliest memories, from our earliest inclinations, we were sinful in this way or sinful in that way or had wrong desires in this way. That in and of itself proves nothing. Of course, Ted Haggard didn't address that point. But that in and of itself proves nothing. If someone said I was born that way, look, people that are attracted to children say, I didn't choose this. Who would choose this? This is, sexually attracted. They say, this is who I've always been. Do we therefore say, oh, that's okay then? That's fine. Those desires are just fine. Just don't hurt anybody. No, we say the desires themselves are wrong and contrary to God's order and God's ideal. And, Larry King keeps pressing the issue. He asked the pastor that was on the air, look, if I'm born with four fingers, is it a sin to be born with four fingers? First, you may be born with four fingers. You're not born with same-sex desires. But even so, if you're born with four fingers and you put those four fingers into a fist and punch someone in the face, that's sin. Even if someone was born with same-sex desires, to act on them, like to act on anything that's contrary to God's word, is sin. We come back. I'm going to say a few things about the contemporary Christian music scene. And remember, Wednesday's broadcast, if you're a Mormon listening, if you have friends, family members that are Mormons, encourage them to tune in this Wednesday. We'll be right back. Friends, welcome back to the Line of Fire. Michael Brown here with you. Apologize for the scratchy throat, and hope it hasn't hurt your ears. 866-34-TRUTH. Let me try one more time. In fact, any of you listening right now, if you need to clear your throat, just take a couple seconds to do that. We'll do it together. All right. Over 20 years ago, I wrote these words, and I want to read them to you as we talk a little bit about the contemporary Christian music scene, and most particularly about Jennifer Knapp, a Christian recording artist of the past, who has now come back into the limelight, saying that she is both Christian, will be on tour singing her Christian songs, and is a lesbian who's been in a same-sex relationship for, 8 years? Which means, presumably, she's been having sexual relationships with another woman for 8 years, aside from whether it's same-sex or opposite-sex, this is someone she's not married to, but yet she's Christian. Okay, I wrote this a little over 20 years ago. First, an anonymous quote: what began as a movement in Jerusalem became a philosophy in Greece, an institution in Rome, a culture in Europe, and an enterprise in America. Do you sense the Spirit's pain? Consider the sins of our great American gospel machine. We have sold the Son of God for profit and marketed the Holy Spirit for gain. We have merchandised the word for money and turned the anointing into a commodity. Preaching the gospel is now big business. Our spiritual executives grow fat while the hungry sheep go unfed. What will our holy God do? We've made the ministry into an industry and the church into a corporate name. Instead of revival, we have revenue. Big profits are up. P-R-O-F-I-T-S. True profits, P-R-O-P-H-E-T-S. True profits are down. Come and see what we've done. Consider today's Christian music scene. How much personal wealth has been amassed? Attend some big concerts and look all around. The superstars sing while the crowd scream their names. Can God be pleased with all this? Are there idols unaware in our midst? Your attitude should be that the same as that of Messiah Jesus, who did not come to serve but to be served, Philippians 2, Matthew 20. Is that where we are today? There is so much stardom and so little sacrifice, so many entertainers and so few examples, so much of Hollywood and so little of heaven. Performance is high, purity is low. But the story gets worse from here, and then I go on talking about the merchandising of the gospel and the begging for dollars and so on and so forth. What's the point? The point is that the contemporary Christian music scene has been quite a mixture for many years now. People who've been involved in it, recording artists, others in the middle of it, have told me for years that only a small percentage of the artists are really living wholly committed lives. One fellow was in the thick of it many years ago in Nashville, and there are many fine people in Nashville, so please don't judge the whole by the part. But he got out of it because he said, you know, I saw the same sins the worldly artists committed openly, drug use, sleeping around, drinking. The Christian artists just committed them behind the scenes, but everyone knew they were doing it. And when I pressed a number of people about, okay, who's really living right, they had a short list of well-known contemporary Christian artists who were living right. Now, how do I view that? Well, when I hear someone, unless I have evidence to the contrary, I believe the best. I think the best. I hope for the best and hope that this one is one of the few, and yet I know there's a good chance they may not be. There was one well-known group performed a major concert overseas. The church there loved these folks. And there happened to be a flight attendant who went to that church on the flight back with them and was shocked by how they got drunk on the flight. I mean, smoking cigarettes was more minor, but smoking cigarettes, that was in the days when it was allowed in flights, and got drunk. And when the pastor found out, he told his people, hey, we're done with this group. You've got their tapes, get rid of them. Tapes back then, albums. I'd encourage you, friends, to listen to the message and look at the life before you enlist yourself in somebody's cause. And there are a lot of fine worshipers and people out there who love Jesus with a great message, with a holy life. Let's be ministered to by those who are walking the walk and get behind them. And the stuff that's just entertainment and fluff, let's pray these people will really come to know God. We've got a special show planned tomorrow, of course, live. Join us Wednesday for our focus on Mormonism.